The Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity at the University of Nevada, Reno has been placed on probation, among other sanctions. The punishments are in response to a discovery of a document meant for pledges. That document contains song lyrics that depict violence and assault against women. To learn more about the state of Greek life organizations across the nation, KUNR's Paulo Chalceda spoke with Alexandra Robbins, author of Fraternity, an inside look at a year of college boys becoming men.
The campus community was rocked when the student newspaper, the Nevada Sagebrush, published this document which contained these graphic and degrading song lyrics. For people outside of Greek life, these findings were shocking, but these practices were somehow normalized enough that they were printed in official pledge documents. From what you've learned in your book, how does this normalization occur?
I think that it's less common than people would assume. We hear about these incidents in the media, if we do hear about them, but we don't hear about the thousands of chapters that don't have activities like that going on. So I think people would be surprised at what fraternities generally are realistically like today, because many of them are not what we see in the news.
And I saw in other interviews that you were talking about groupthink in fraternities. How powerful can groupthink be?
Well, groupthink can be really powerful because we're talking about a segment of the population, you know, teenagers and early 20s, which are more susceptible to conformity than any other age group. Groupthink can be particularly powerful, especially when people are in groups that are homogenous, which is one reason why I think that if fraternities want to thrive in the future, they should really put a lot of resources into creating scholarships that would diversify their membership racially, socioeconomically, because the way to resist groupthink is to have a diverse membership in the first place.
And you've been there's been a lot of conversation about the link between toxic masculinity and fraternities. Can you explain what toxic masculinity is and how it relates to Greek life organizations?
Well, okay, this is sort of a semantics issue because toxic masculinity refers to the idea that men have to be promiscuous and macho and emotionless and have power over women. Some people are interpreting that to mean traditional masculinity, and those are actually different things. The fraternities that we see more commonly in the news are the fraternities who are engaging in poor behavior. So people link fraternities as a whole with toxic masculinity. But, you know, it's so easy to demonize fraternities because of what we see in the news. But in reality, there are hundreds of thousands of good boys in the system. You know, our sons, our friends, our neighbors. And this is a dominant force in higher education that should receive more balanced media coverage than it does.
Looking through your past work, you've also been a little vocal about how Greek life, particularly sororities, can sometimes contribute to rape culture. Can you tell me more about that view?
What's happening on college campuses that, again, has not been covered in the media is that there's sort of this rampant practice of unofficial ranking of fraternity and sorority chapters. They rank chapters as top tier, middle tier, or bottom tier. Sororities tiers are often determined by how good looking the sisters are and how willing they are to party. Fraternities are ranked by how party hard they are, their money, hookups, their looks, and the parties they throw. You can see why the system as a whole on these campuses could potentially contribute to rape culture, because they're basically saying you will be ranked higher if you drink more and hook up more.
So would fraternities that are getting more trouble, would those rank higher or do those rank lower?
It's trouble is sort of a separate bucket, because whether or not they get in trouble depends on so many factors. But I did talk to many sorority sisters who did not report poor behavior in high-tier fraternities because they didn't want the high-tier fraternities to stop partying with them. Because if the high-tier fraternities stop partying with the sorority, then the sorority's rank may drop.
And are universities trying to address these issues?
Of course. Well, there are things you can do to change the culture on campus to begin with. You've got University of Richmond right now really focuses on talking to students about gender roles and about freeing students from the constraints of having to live up to other people's expectations or very rigidly defined standards of how general society thinks that men or women should be and should act.
At UNR, fraternities have been punished through educational sanctions and university probation. What do you think about those practices?
You know, I think the consequences should fit the crime. So if a chapter is doing something that reeks of misogyny, for example, then they need some sort of educational program and some sort of requirement that would increase their understanding of why the behavior is not okay. And just a straight on probation doesn't really get to the root of that problem and of changing that culture.
So it sounds like through your research, you found some value in fraternities. Can you tell me a little about that?
Sure. Fraternities are providing things for students that they might not otherwise get. People don't usually think about fraternities this way, but one of the major reasons that they continue to succeed is when you go to college, you might be a little nervous, you might be a little lost or not sure how to make friends, all of which, by the way, describe Jake, a new college freshman I followed for a year for the book. Healthy fraternities can be comfort zones for these students, especially at schools that don't have other resources specifically for young men. So many students I interviewed said that their fraternity was like a second family to them.
Is there anything else I'm missing? Do you want to say anything else?
I think people will be surprised by this book. I mean, it's a fun read. The boys' year in the life stories are entertaining, and in one case, extremely surprising. I mean, I will say that this was my eighth book, and I've never followed someone for a book whose story ended the year in such a surprising way. It took a turn that I was not expecting. But I think a lot of people will have fun with this book and will wonder where these fraternities are and will perhaps realize that the guy in the fraternity sweatshirt next to them in class may not be the jerk they might think he is.
Alexandra Robbins, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
That was our reporter, Paulo Shasada, talking with Alexandra Robbins. Her book, Fraternity, An Inside Look at a Year of College Boys Becoming Men, will be out on shelves February 5th.